Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It's Friday, January 2nd, 2015. Happy New Year, everyone. I am your host, Jawanda. I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Please say hello, Elise.
Happy New Year.
And we're here with our first show of 2015. We're going to be talking about taking a look ahead, looking ahead at the movies that will be coming at us this year in 2015. And we're going to be sort of counting down. We've each picked out 10 of the films that we're most looking forward to. And we'll talk a little bit about why we are looking forward to them. Elise, let's go kind of like how we did the show on Sunday when we were taking a look back. You asked a question. You asked, you know, how hard was it to pick films? Before we even get into the list, how hard was it for you to pick out films? Was it easier than usual? Was it a little bit more difficult? What is your overall, and what is your overall feeling for the year? Are you getting good vibes about what this year is going to be, or what? How are you feeling?
Well, it was hard. My top five was pretty easy, actually.
Okay.
Like, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, definitely. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
But the other five, it was like, well, you know, some things I think could be really cool, but there's no trailer, and I've made the mistake of getting hyped about something and then seeing the trailer and was like, oh, that was a mistake. That Keanu Reeves movie, what was that?
Yeah.
That I was like, it's Keanu, it's Christmas.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
So I think there's going to be like three or four really good sci-fi movies this year. But overall, I don't think it's looking that strong, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I felt like, well, for me, actually, it was easy for me to pick out 10. It was really easy. And some of these on my list, when we go through these, I will just admit that it's probably not going to be any good. But at the end of the day, it's probably not going to be any good. But the things that I put on my list were just, I just put for pure, like, initial reaction, for very various reasons. Maybe it's the people in the film. Maybe it's the people directing the film. Maybe it's nostalgic reasons, all those sorts of
right
things. But I still put them on my list, knowing that some of them probably are not, you know, they're just not going to be all that fabulous.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a very subjective, you know, media, as we have, you know, found out doing our year-end review. You know, a film that was on my worst list was on your best list, number one.
Right.
So there you go. I there you have it. But I think that's what makes this fun, you know,
is
seeing, you know, you make a guess, and then at the end of the year when we look back, we're either embarrassed or we're raising our fists in triumph. So we'll see. So with all that said, let's get started, shall we? Let's get started with our number 10. And I'm going to let you go first. What is your number 10 most anticipated of next year? And if you can, you know, give the title, give the date that it's scheduled to come out, and then, you know, and then so on and so forth.
Okay, so my number 10 was actually Predestination, which we just mentioned. Coming out January 9th, starring Ethan Hawke, directed by the Spirig brothers, who did another Ethan Hawke kind of like fantasy movie called Daybreak. And really, this is based on a Robert Heinlein, story.
Yes.
So that's really what I'm basing it on. It's like, okay, this is like sci-fi classic, sci-fi legend, legendary writer. I like Ethan Hawke. Let's see what they have going on. And the trailers look pretty cool. It's got a time-traveling agent, and he is searching for one criminal that he hasn't been able to capture.
Yeah. And the Spirit Brothers, they also did, like you mentioned, they also did that Daybreakers movie with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
Wasn't that? It was a couple of years ago. And that was kind of low-key, I guess that's more fantasy than sci-fi, that one, because it's about vampires.
Right.
But I liked their take on that. I was, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it was a decent offering from them. So I'm actually, I'm looking forward to this one, because now, you know, you've got Ethan Hawke. You've got he's working with the same directors who did the Daybreakers. It was solid. But now it's based on a Heinlein, like you said, a classic sci-fi story.
Right.
So I'm interested to see what that's going to be about. Although, I mean, I'm a little bit nervous because it's coming out in January. January typically is not the best month for movies, but you never know. I mean, you know, I think maybe Daybreakers probably came out around the same time, and I still enjoyed that one. So, yeah, that was a good one, My number 10 is Jurassic World. Jurassic World. And they're saying that this is coming out June 12th. So it's going to be, you know, in that the popcorn spot, you know, of the year,
great,
the June movie, popcorn movie. And this one is being directed by Colin Trevorrow, who I'm not familiar with. He's not done, when I did a quick search on him, he's not done anything really real. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is like his first time directing like a big thing, which is why this is number 10 and not like higher up on the list, because I should say it stars Chris Pratt, who's hot off of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, so he's the new I guess sci-fi boy, and so he does a couple of things that are absolutely horrendous, and then he'll be off the list. But you know, so I saw the trailer for this, and I have to admit, I got excited. I got excited because of nostalgia, number one.
Yeah.
Number one thing was nostalgia. They played the John Williams music, the piano stripped-down version, but it was still John Williams, Jurassic Park, and nostalgia. So it's really all nostalgia for me is what I'm excited for this for. But it's, I mean, you know, it's probably not going to be that great. I will say really quickly, according to IMDb, that this is supposed to, Jurassic World is supposed to be taking place 22 years after the events of the original Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And so we'll see. You know, if for nothing else, I'm hoping we just get a fun popcorn film. I hope it's not going to be like horrendous. I hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah. So that's my thing. So moving on to number 9, what was your number 9?
My number 9 is Terminator Genesis.
Okay.
Coming out to libraries, hear me out here. Directed by Alan Taylor, starring Emilia Clarke, and we all know Matt Smith is in there somewhere, although he is suspiciously absent from the trailer. And
yes,
like you, this this was my nostalgia pick. I was like, man, I really didn't like the last Terminator, but it's Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. I like Emilia Clarke. They threw in Matt Smith, so they got me. Like, I'm gonna go see it. It was just nostalgia.
Yeah, The reason I'll tell you now, Terminator, I'm gonna dispel the suspense. That's not on my list at all. And the reason it's not, the reason this is not a nostalgia pick and Jurassic World is because they have butchered it so many times now. Like, it's a, like for me, Jurassic World, the last Jurassic movie was, it's been a sufficient amount of time. You know, Jurassic Park 3 was not good, but it's been so long since I feel like they haven't killed Jurassic Park yet for me. So that's why I'm open-minded for Jurassic World, whereas Terminator, I feel like they killed it. It's almost dead. It's almost dead for me. And this trailer, like you said, where is Matt Smith? Where is he? Where is Matt Smith? And I know for a lot of people listening, they're probably like, who the hell cares? What the hell does Matt Smith have to do with whether or not this is going to be any good? But personally, for me, because they've already, like, done it to death and not done it very well the last couple of outings, Matt Smith was the one thing keeping this alive in my heart. And so to see the trailer, and he's not there, and then you know what it's about, like some nonsense about, like, Sarah Connor is Arnold Schwarzenegger's coming back, and he's, like, her father figure or some sort of nonsense. Like, I'm not feeling it.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go. Obviously, I'm going. But I got to tell you, I'm not looking forward. I'm not looking forward to it. So with that said, my number nine is actually Predestination. My number nine is Predestination. So for all that we already talked about it, we don't need to spend a whole bunch of time on that. What is your number eight?
Number eight, I know you're going to go crazy because I'm sure this is in your top five. Number eight for me is Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, coming out November 20th.
Yeah.
Directed
again,
by
November.
Lawrence.
November.
Yeah.
Because it's a winner. It's a winner. I guarantee you.
Yes, we got the November release date, yes.
That's right.
Usual cast of characters are back. And listen,
yes.
I don't have anything bad to say about any of the Hunger Games. We've talked about this.
Okay.
You know, I'll just say, you know, if I didn't see this movie, I would be all right. It's not like I am dying to see this, but I know it's going to be pretty good.
Did you just say that you would be okay if you didn't see the final? Is that what you just said? Because maybe my phone went out. I think my phone went out. Hello?
Just
what?
Like speaking rationally, not as like a crazy movie person. If I didn't, you know, I'd be all right. I'd be like, okay, well, I saw the first. Those were good. All right.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're just out of your mind. I would have a better time with that statement if you were talking about like the, you've already seen all of the films. Why would you not want to see how they wrap it up? Like, why would you not?
I'm not saying I don't want to see it. I mean,
you
said I'm
you
definitely
would be
gonna
okay.
go see it.
You would be
yeah,
okay.
I'd be like, okay.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Let's just leave it at that. You're out of your mind. My number eight is Kingsman, the Secret Service.
Oh, yeah.
That's my number eight. This one is coming out February 13th, thank God. I'm actually, you know, I'm glad that we don't have to wait too long for this one. This one looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who's done
solid
fun stuff. I mean, he most recently did X-Men First Class.
I mean,
come on. He did Kick-Ass. He did Stardust, which I loved. He did Layer Cake with, like, hello, James Vaughn. So, I mean, this just looks like it's going to be all kinds of fun. I mean, Colin Firth is, like, some Kick-Ass.
I know.
Whatever. I'm just so looking forward to this for a number of reasons. I mean, aside from, you know, your lineup, like, the trailer just looks fun. You know, Samuel L. Jackson plays some quirky, crazy bad guy, Matthew Vaughn directing, Colin Firth. This is something new. That's the other thing that makes me excited. It's not another, you know, Marvel movie, which, I mean, Marvel movies are fun, but I think I'll talk about it more later as we get on in the year, I think, but I'm kind of like, okay, I mean, this whole Marvel, DC, I'm getting confused. Like, I don't even know where we are anymore. Like, I don't know. That's all I'll say about it. So, Kingsman is my number eight. That's my number eight.
That's a good pick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Yeah. So we're moving on. We're at, you already said your eight, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're up to seven now. What is your seven?
Well, I picked Equals, and this has no release date, no trailer. It was directed by someone named Drake Dormus, who I'm not, I didn't know. He's done stuff, but it's nothing I'm familiar with. But it was written by Nathan Parker, who wrote one of my favorite sci-fi movies, Moon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and it stars Kristen Stewart and Nicholas Hoult. So,
that's right.
I know people poo-poo her because she doesn't smile or whatever. I'm like, that's just her face. I mean, why are people just relax? You know what I mean? Does she have to do a little dance? Just leave the girl alone.
Right.
So I really like Kristen Stewart, love Nicholas Hoult. And we'll see. We'll see. There's no trailer, so I'm a little bit wary, but I am really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't even know because there's not even a release date, right?
No, it's 2015.
Okay. Yeah, which is, you know, I think that's why that didn't show up on my list at all, was because I was like, well, is it really coming out in 2015? I mean, that sounds kind of like the whole thing that happened with How to Catch a Monster last year, which that was supposed to come out last year, and it's suspiciously, they're moving it around, it's supposed to come out this year. You know, it's gotten, you know, some bad early reviews or whatever. So I'm like, I don't know. But I am intrigued just with the casting alone. I mean, it's a science fiction story. It's Kristen Stewart, Nicholas Hoult. You know, if it comes out this year, I'm there. I'm definitely going to see that bad boy. Okay. So my number seven is actually Avengers Age of Ultron. I put it
little,
on here.
Little low.
Low
on the list.
You know, yes, May 1, Joss Whedon. And the reason why I put it on my list is kind of like what I talked about. Like, I'll tell you honestly, when I was putting this list together and I was like, well, I guess I got to put Avengers on here, I actually had to look up to see how many Avengers movies there have been. I was confused. I was like, is this only the second one? So that's why it's this low on the list. Because, I love Joss Whedon. He is still hands down one of my absolute favorite directors, writers ever. Like, ever. And that's really, you know what? If he wasn't directing and writing this, I don't know if this, first of all, I don't think the first movie would have been as much fun as it was. That's the first piece.
Yeah.
I think
for
it
sure.
would have probably been on our worst list. Had he not been at the helm of that thing. But I feel like the only reason it's not higher is just because, like I said, these Marvel movies and the DC, I'm almost inundated. I'm almost like, you know, the reason I'm excited is really because of Joss Whedon. Because I know with him writing, with him directing, that it will be good. You know, but like I was telling somebody the other day, and she's like, well, why aren't you more excited? Why isn't it, like, higher on your list? And I was like, well, because it's not, if it was an original idea from Joss Whedon, I think it would have been easily, like, in the top five best films of all time. But it's not a Joss Whedon idea. He's working with stuff that was already, you know what I'm saying? Like, already
great.
There.
He's
working with somebody else's stuff. But if this was a Joss Whedon original, I think that it would blow everything out of the water. We'd be talking about it like we talked about Serenity. But he's only got so much. He can, you know, he's got to work with what's already there. So that's why it's not higher up on my list. That's how I feel about it. So, yeah. So that's my Avengers. That's my number seven is Avengers, Age of Ultron. Moving on to number six. What is your number six?
Number six for me, which is, it's not really sci-fi or fantasy, but it's Spectre. Or Beyond Two Stars. Coming out November 6th. Sam Mendes is back. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. And we have, of course, Daniel Craig is back. And this is, and Christopher Weitz is playing the bad guy, the big bad in this. And I think the plot of this one, what is he doing? Something, he finds out there's a cryptic message from his past, and he's trying to find out the terrible truth behind Spectre. And that's basically it. So, really, just because, oh my gosh, why isn't my brain working? What was the last one?
Skyfall.
Skyfall was so good. I still can't, that completely changed my opinion of the whole Bond franchise. And I know people are like, that's ridiculous, these movies are coming out forever. I wasn't into it. I could take it or leave it. And really, Sam Mendes and Daniel Craig just blew it out of the water. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about it. My number six was is Crimson Peak. This is the Guillermo del Toro horror film coming out October 16th. Now, let me say, I'm going to just be honest and upfront about this. I was going to say something that's not entirely true. Listen, it's horror. It's Guillermo del Toro. I know that the last horror film we saw that he kind of produced or whatever was not that great, Mama. It's Guillermo del Toro. I can't not be excited about this. And the other really big reason that I'm excited for this film. Done.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to go any further than that. To see freaking Charlie Hunnam and something else, you know, and I know we were kind of divided about the last Guillermo del Toro matchup he did, which was, what was the thing?
Yeah.
The robots. The Transformer Godzilla thing.
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, thank you. But this is horror. Now, this is Guillermo del Toro. I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll do. And it comes out in October 16th, so I think it'll be, I'm hoping it won't be, like, funny bad. Like, so bad that it's funny. I'm hoping not. But I'm really looking forward to it. I can't help myself. I can't help myself.
Wait, what is this one about now?
Who cares? What do you mean? It's horror. Guillermo del Toro and Charlie Hunnam. What the hell else do you need? I'll read the thing from IMDb. It says, in the aftermath of a family tragedy, an aspiring author is torn between love of her childhood friend and the temptation of a mysterious outsider. trying to escape the ghost of her past, she is swept away to a house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. And yeah, and I'll say not only is Charlie Hunnam in it, but we also have Jessica Chastain and Tom Hiddleston, who I really like as well. Tom Hiddleston. So
yeah.
There you go. Pimps and peace. So with that said, we're down to our top five films. We'll just go into the top five. I'm interested to hear. Which are number five for 2015?
Number five for me was Avengers: Age of Ultron.
And okay.
Like you, really, Josh Whedon, I want to see what he has to say. And I thought the trailer was kick-ass. What's his name as the villain is really. I'm looking forward to him.
Oh wait, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to sound on the playback, but I'm having trouble hearing you. Are you sure you're talking into the right part of your phone?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Huh? Is this better?
No.
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, maybe it's just me. Continue. It sounds like you're going in and out. But
okay.
Avengers: Age of Ultron. So, who is the bad guy in this one again?
James Spader is the voice of Ultron.
Okay.
Yeah, James Spader. Everyone loves James Spader. What's not to love?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, usual cast of characters. We kind of talked about it. So, that's my number five. Really, Josh Whedon is what I'm voting for here. Josh Whedon is my number five, really.
I mean, really. Because, honestly, if he wasn't directing and writing, would this really be on our list? I mean,
probably not.
Let's be honest. Probably not. I mean,
yeah.
He really takes things to a completely different level. Completely different. Okay. So my number five is actually Mad Max Fury Road. And this comes out May 15. Listen. This is, look, when they said, 2 years ago, I think, is when I first started hearing stuff about this. When they said Tom Hardy was going to be in a Mad Max movie, I was like, done. Done. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't need to see a trailer. I didn't need to know anything else. I was like, Mad Max, Tom Hardy, I'm there. Boom. I'm done. That's it. But then on top of that, seeing these trailers now, okay? We're seeing these trailers. We know that the dude who originally originated and thought up the original character with Mel Gibson is back for this. So this is his baby.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We haven't been inundated with a bunch of Mad Max crap, you know. So I feel like this is a good time. You know, it's been, 30 years or something crazy. So I don't feel like I'm done with Mad Max, but somebody has slaughtered it to death. The time is right. It's May 15. It's kicking off. I feel like the whole summer season, I think this is going to be, I don't know. And you really never know. I mean, it looks like it's awesome. You got your Tom Hardy, you got Charlize Theron looking like crazy.
Yeah.
All right. You got Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
You didn't even recognize, okay? And you got the original guy back who did the original Mad Max. And so it's like the lineup looks like they got a winner. But as we both know, that is not a recipe always for,
right,
you know, the absolute best thing to happen. But we'll see. I mean, I feel confident enough about it that it's my number five. May 15th, baby. I'm so there. So there for this. So there. So we're getting into it now. This isn't for real. This is for really real now.
Nitty gritty.
What is your number four?
Number four for me is The Martian.
coming out November 25th, directed by Ridley Scott, who, of course, we know is a sci-fi god. Written by some dude named Drew Goddard, who wrote World War Z, and he wrote Cabin in the Woods, which, you know, some people weren't crazy about it. I thought it was all right. It was kind of, it was clever, I thought. And he was a producer on Lost. And we've got Jessica Chastain and Matt Damon in this. And really, I moved this up because of what you were telling me about the book. So I was like, oh, all right, this is going to be crazy. And I'm not even, all I know, it's about an astronaut that gets stranded on Mars. That's all I really know. But because of the book, you were telling me about it, I'm like, all right. And really, I mean, it's really sad. Come on.
And it really sad, although he kind of lost his mind a little bit with what do you call it? Yeah.
Exodus or something.
I don't know. He was taking some sort of crack. So, but we'll see. Well, I have to talk. I have to leave that there because I definitely want to talk more about it. My number four was Hunger Games. Monkey J Part 2.
Obviously.
I mean, come on. You've got the same thing. You have Francis Lawrence, who did Catching Fire, which was phenomenal. I recently rewatched that, Catching Fire, the second one.
Yeah, I really like the second.
My God. Come on. Come the hell on with that, all right? And he is back. You've got all these people back. They're going to wrap it up. You know it's going to be like Nuts-O-Ramacon. It's going to be because they're wrapping up the story. Like, this is it. There's no playing around now. All bets are off, okay? And I just think that it's just going to be glorious. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to spend any more time on that. It's Hunger Games, Mockingjay 2, November 20. Number three. What is your number three?
Oh, number three for me is Ex Machina. And this is coming out April 10th, directed by Alex Garland, starring Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac. It's about a programmer who has to go evaluate an AI, artificial intelligence, you know. And this just looks really interesting, really intriguing. I think it's going to be like not your typical sci-fi movie. And it's being released by A24, that distribution company that's put out, they put out The Rover, they put out Under the Skin. So I'm really, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, this, I didn't put this one on my list, but it's definitely, I had it on like a honorable mention list. And it is on my calendar to go see in theaters because you're right. This looks very intriguing. So I am also looking forward to that one. My number three, that's where we're up to now, right? Was actually it was Spectre with the James Bond film that you already mentioned.
All right.
It's so high up because of, I mean. That film, there's nothing negative that I can think of to say about it. The only negative thing, and I say this and people laugh at me, I was like, the only negative thing is that it ended. That it ended. I could have, I could still be sitting in that theater. If they had more story to tell, I would still be there. I mean, that's how strong, I think that's the closest that we've come since we started this show, anyway, to a five. I mean, I don't think that we've seen anything that has come closer to a five. That's why it's number three. I mean, you got the same team back. Like you said before, I mean, the Skyfall team. So what the hell? you know, hey, I am. And again, November. That's going to come out in November. They just do. Okay. Spectre. There you go. I would not be surprised if that doesn't show up. I would be. Yeah. I'm gonna say that unless they go way off the grid, And that's probably going to end up in our top five of the best. I'm going to go on a limb and just say it. Unless they go off the grid. If they just say, you know what, to hell with this. Let's just smoke some crack and see what happens. That's the only way this is not going to be good. I mean, I just hope to God they don't screw it up. All right, yeah. Elise, number two. This better be good, damn it.
Oh, what did I say? Number two.
Number freaking two. What is your number two? I want to hear it.
It was Mad Max Fury Road, directed by George Miller. We talked about it coming out May 15th. And for all the reasons you said, and I'll just add that the trailer looked awesome. That one long shot of the guy, like, jumping off of the truck into the, and then you can see the desert, and it just looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, it wasn't this high on my list until I saw the trailer, and I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, he's not playing around.
No,
this is serious.
Yeah, this is serious right now. Okay, yeah. My number two is actually The Martian. And the reason why it's so high on my list, and I'm actually nervous about it, because I read the book. I read the book, and the book was so much fun. And you have to read the book. And I would say if you can, if your schedule will allow you to, read it way in advance of the film. Because as we know, you know, if you read it too close to when the movie comes out, November 25, that's another reason why I'm really excited. It's a November movie, man. It's a November movie. And I don't know, I have a special love for November movies. They got Matt Damon. And they've already got a story. I mean, I know that it's been reworked by dudes, but they already have the story in place. So if they don't get too far off from that, if they do a good job of bringing the magic that was that book to the screen, they can't go wrong. The only reason that I'm kind of nervous about this is because once I put the book down, I'm excited because it's not another comic book thing. It's just something kind of fresh. But on the other hand, it's really kind of not that fresh because we've seen it's sort of similar to Gravity. In a way, that's all I'm going to say about it because I don't want to give things away too much. It's similar to Gravity in that it takes place in space and somebody's got to survive. So that's the only way that it's similar. But it's not completely, completely fresh. Like, if this had come out before Gravity, and we'll see what they do with it. But, I mean, it's high up on my list because I read the book. The book is phenomenal. They got Matt Damon, whom I loved. And so, you know, it's coming out in November. You know, it's magic time, magic hour. so if they don't, you know, if they didn't set fire to the book, and just said, yeah, no, we don't like this. This works. We want to do something else. they don't do that. If they don't approach it like that, we're in for some fun. Because the book is just all kinds of good. All kinds of good. That's why it's so high up on my list. Number two. I have a feeling that you and I have the same number one.
I'm positive. There's no way.
I mean, if your number one is
our entire childhood,
I don't know what that says about you or I. I don't know. Elise, what is your number one film of 2016?
Number one is Star Wars, baby.
Thank you.
Episode 7. The Force Awakens.
Episode 7. The Force Awakens. Now, do we really need to talk about why this is number one?
Maybe we need to take, maybe so. Maybe some people are like, come on. That's the easy take. J.J. Abrams doesn't deserve it.
Right. So maybe, yeah.
Let me start by saying this, which is interesting. I think in IMDb, the two names, the two like starring names, are Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford. And I don't really know if that's true. I don't know if they should really be getting top billing. I don't know if they just did that for like nostalgia reasons,
right?
Or what? I don't really think that's true.
Carrie
yeah.
Fisher. They have all three of them, right on the
right
like, okay.
on the thing. Yeah. The Force Awakens, Episode 7. This is a holiday movie. I mean, it's coming out December 18th. I mean, I just feel like the Earth is going to stop spinning. Let me say this, because you mentioned something about J.J. Abrams and people kind of, listen, when they first announced that J.J. Abrams was going to be directing this, I feel like it's been like 20 years ago when they announced that he was going to be taking it home. I was one of the people that was very upset. I will say, I was very, very upset.
Because,
oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. You remember? Because
yeah.
I felt like he did done Star Trek. Why are you also giving him Star Wars? For people who are not, like, into these things, they already can't differentiate between Star Trek, Star Wars. They think it's the same thing. They don't know. They don't know any different.
Right.
Why are you giving the guy, why are you giving him both? I was annoyed by that, A. I was like, well, he's already put his, like, Star Wars spin on Star Trek.
Right, yeah.
Why are you also, you know what I mean? So that's why I was upset. I was
yeah.
like, no, they should have given it to Joss Whedon. That's what I felt very, very strongly about, that they should have given it to Joss Whedon. But, since then, I have, A, seen the trailer, okay? I've seen the trailer. They got John, the John Williams score alone. Listen. They could have just shown the title and put the John Williams music up, and I would be flipping the hell out.
Yeah.
I would be flipping out. The John Williams score alone, by itself, with nothing else happening but the Star Wars thing coming out, I'd be done. I'd be like, yes, number one, That's how strong I feel about the John Williams. However, that being said, I also recently, not too long ago, we watched the first Star Trek, the Star Trek that J.J. Abrams did. And just the first like 5 minutes when he's introducing Kirk and Spock, and I was like, oh, I
Brilliant.
See why they gave him. Yeah. I was like, I see why they gave this to him. I see. Because he did, just within like 5 minutes, they were able to introduce introduce and then like reintroduce, you know, for some, these two pivotal characters in this universe in such a fun and, you know, engaging, brilliant way. He just summed up both of those characters in such a fun way. That's
yeah.
why they gave him the Star Wars. So I've come around. What about for you? I mean, aside from John Williams' score, like why is it? Is it just nostalgia?
It's more than that. Very excited. Okay. I mean, just the fact that George Lucas is not involved is very exciting. Because the first three Star Wars, I mean, they're seminal. Like, our entire childhood, I feel like, was wrapped
yes.
up. I mean, it was all very much sci-fi fantasy when we were growing up. I mean, that was the
yes.
thrust of the household.
yes.
But
yes.
Star Wars seminal, like every Christmas, you know, I still,
right.
I remember the first time I saw Return of the Jedi. I wasn't alive. was I alive? When Dad made us stand in line and we waited through the whole showing so we could get in to see the next one. I don't know if I was
you
alive
know.
Then, but I remember hearing that story.
uh-huh,
I remember
uh-huh.
even when the prequels came out, I remember running through the Nanuet Mall with Dad.
a 6-year-old father running.
Running.
His feet.
Yes. Yeah. Literally. We are not joking. It was actual running. We are not being like,
it was
not hyperbole. Running.
No.
And it was just, the prequels were so kind of disappointing. I mean, you know, we still went to see them, and it was very exciting. But they were just kind of a real letdown. So to have somebody like J.J. Abrams, who has proved himself, he's a fan.
Yeah.
One, he's a fan.
Yeah.
And he's proved himself with these other entities. To have him come in and take a new look, he's bringing back the, you know, the original actors. It's very exciting. I mean,
very exciting.
I don't even know how to express it in words.
Right. It's just, it's like lifeblood. It's just like lifeblood.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I think this was sort of, I don't know, we'll have to have some sort of offshoot, round table discussion, like deep discussion, just about how, you know, Star Wars, I don't know that we will ever in our lifetimes experience another Star Wars. I mean, how that has just, not just for a few people, for the world, not just for America, for the world, how Star Wars has just, like, completely, it's so part of our experience as human beings. I just don't think that we'll have something like that again.
No.
And just because of, you know, the times that we live in and how inundated we are with stuff and how quick we can get to stuff, I just don't think that even something that maybe in the past would have been worthy of like a Star Wars, you know, sort of feeling, we just won't have that again just because we're just inundated and everything we can get so quick and so fast. And we kind of, I think, are jaded, you know. We're just not capable of getting as excited, I don't think, about things anymore. But Star Wars was it, man. Star Wars was it. And, you know, like I said, they wouldn't have to have done too much. I think it was very wise on their part to just bring back the John Williams. You know, I
right.
wouldn't be surprised if that was, you know, came specifically from J.J. Abrams. It was like, you know what? We're getting back to basics. The only way that we can let people
right.
know that we are serious about this thing is don't do any remakes. Don't even have John Williams remake and do any retouches or fancy. Just bring back the episode, you know, with the original Star Wars 4. Just bring it back. Just bring it back, clean it up digitally, whatever you got to do, but don't change it. Just put that in the trailer. And that alone, I think, for me, I feel like sums up everything. And, you know, when you're on IMDb and you're looking at, like, there really isn't any summary for this. Oh, wait, hang on. No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at Return of the Jedi. This would have been cool if the actual tagline was, "The Adventure Returns." that's not what it is. That's Return of the Jedi. But, I mean, really, if they would have just used that, I think that would have been cool. To say that the original, you know, Star Wars is back. Put the prequels out of your mind, folks, because we're back for real now. We're not playing around. We're back to basics. We're back to the real thing. Here you go. Actually, okay, I'm on the actual one now. The summary is a continuation of the saga created by George Lucas set 30 years after Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. So, I mean, even that's very simplistic. They're just saying, listen, man, we're picking up from the originals, baby. We're not talking about prequels. We're not, just put it out of your mind. We are talking about the original stuff from the 1980s. Wait, this is it. This is it.
Let me tell you something.
We don't need to talk about
Mark,
it anymore.
When Mark Hamill comes on the screen, if he has a lightsaber, I'm going to start crying. And I'm putting that out there just right now, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to start weeping.
Even if he doesn't have a lightsaber. When he shows up, I'm going to start crying.
Listen, I think that's how everybody feels. Like, I honestly, that's why I said at the start of this, I feel like the Earth is almost going to stop rotating. Like, on December 17th, did you know they're going to start doing crazy early advanced screening, like, the Monday before? And it's just, I just feel like the Earth, something is going to happen. Like, I can't even, in my mind, like, I feel like we need to start selling tickets now. And they start, I mean, look. I'm going to be there with as much paraphernalia as possible. I feel like I need to go buy a light. Like, I'm going to be one of those people with my Star Wars shirt on, possibly a lightsaber, possibly the Danishes on my head. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll let you know when we get closer to the date. I'm not sure. Yeah, man. Number one, it's that. It was always going to be that. There's nothing else. No other film will exist when it drops. Nothing else will exist. Nothing. You know, I'm nervous. We'll see what he does. I mean, how do we honestly feel what it's going to be? I mean, honestly. Nostalgia, John Williams, and all those folks aside. I mean, do we have high hopes, really, that this will be good?
Yeah. Really. I mean, if it's bad, I mean, that's going to be so devastating.
Yeah.
It's going to be really devastating.
I mean, but is it really going to be that devastating? Because we lived through those prequels. Those are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Will it really be devastating, or will it just be like, well, we kind of knew going in, it might have sucked ass?
Wait, say that again?
I was going to say, is it really going to be that devastating since, you know, we lived through the prequels and those were atrocious? I mean, will it really be that devastating since you've already lived through three of some of the worst atrocities? You know, talk about killing your baby. Like, you know, we had the original guy back in, and he just, like, we could have a whole show dedicated to how he just slaughtered that. But we lived through that. So will it really be that devastating if this is no good?
Yeah, probably not, I guess. It'll be, we'll survive.
Right. Because we've already, you know, it's not like this is the first Star Wars since the original. That would be different.
Right.
Like, if we hadn't survived the prequels, and then this came out, and this was horrendous, that would be devastating. I think people would be, like, jumping off of bridges. But it's not, because we've already lived through the atrocities of the prequels. So, if this is bad, really, I don't think it's going to be as bad as the prequels. I just don't think that J.J. Abrams will make anything that bad. I'm going to go on a limb and say that right now. I don't think that even if it's not good, listen, he's not going to do anything that like what we saw in those prequels. He's just not. I'm going out on a limb, and I'm saying it right now. He's just not.
All right,
you know,
you heard it here, folks.
I just don't think he will. I just don't think he will. Because some of the stuff that happened in those prequels was like, have you ever made a movie? You know, like, have you ever made a film before? And I don't think that's what's going to happen to J.J. Abrams. I just don't think so. It might be bad in other ways, but it's not going to be like that. So,
yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. So with that, we're ending a little bit early. That was a lot easier to go through for some reason than doing the year end wrap up. Is that like a premonition of what this year is going to be like? Maybe we're in store for like a really good year.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so.
I hope so too. So with that said, I suppose we will end it here. We will be back, not next week, but well, kind of. Next week, Sunday, January 11th, and we're going to be reviewing Predestination, which actually ended up on both of our lists. We'll be back at our normal day and time, Sunday, January 11th, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, talking about Predestination. So please tune in then. Any comments, or if you disagree with any of our choices, whether it was our year in preview or year in review, please let us know at blackgeekmovietalk@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter and Facebook. Lisa, am I forgetting any of our other social media outlets?
That's it. Yeah.
So please tune back in on Sunday, the 11th. Until then, have a fantastic week. And here's to 2015. Hopefully it'll be a good
2015.
Yeehaw.